Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for March 11th, 2011.
The Science Update Podcast is produced by AAAS, advancing science, serving society.
It is really tough to catch a really slimy frog.
This will get them fighting mad, so to speak. They'll start competing with one another. They'll start competing over females.
The brood, which emerged from colonies that had received the simulated drumming, had physiological characteristics like workers.
They're very, very slippery. They're virtually impossible to handle.
This week, scientists have discovered that certain apes communicate with different dialects depending on where they're from. And a newly discovered pheromone turns male squids into fighting machines. Also, researchers working deep in the rainforests of Borneo have uncovered an unusual relationship between bats and carnivorous plants. But first, Suzanne answers a listener's question.
Listener Courtney Fenwick of Washington, D.C. wrote to ask why the skin of many amphibians is slimy. We consulted amphibian conservation biologist Brian Gratwick of the National Zoo. He explains that mucus on the skin serves different functions depending on the species. It protects some amphibians from predation.
When you handle an African clawed frog, they're very, very slippery. They're virtually impossible to handle because they just have so much mucus around them that when you grab them, they just slip straight between your fingers. But it's really tough to catch a really slimy frog. And that means that that slime is actually performing an essential function to that frog in terms of protecting it from predation, because it just makes it harder for a predator to grab hold of it.
He says that the mucus of certain amphibians contains antimicrobial chemicals that guard against infection.
We call them antimicrobial peptides, and we found a number of important biomedical functions that are provided by these antimicrobial peptides.
Slimy skin can also provide a moist surface for moving oxygen and carbon dioxide into and out of tissues.
Some of them respire across their skin. Now, we respire across our lungs, and inside our lungs, it's very moist, damp membrane, and that's what we need to dissolve oxygen and carbon dioxide to get it into our bloodstream. But with amphibians, a lot of their gas exchange, if they have a slimy skin, actually occurs across their skin membrane. So they use their skin for gas exchange. And some amphibians, like the Lake Titicaca frog, have very enhanced, slimy, membranous skins that kind of look like big, wrinkly bags of skin swimming around in the water. And they have these extra folds of slimy skin to enhance their ability to exchange gases across their skin.
But Gratwick says that many amphibians, such as toads, aren't slimy because they live in arid habitats.
And when they're in dry areas, it'll probably be more important for the frog to have a dry skin to basically protect it from dehydrating. So that skin will function as a barrier to keep the water in. In that case, the frog skin is probably not going to be very slimy, because when you're trying to keep the water in, you need a dry, impermeable barrier.
Thanks for the question, Courtney. We'll be sending you a Science Update mug. And if you have a science question, give us a call at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT.
Thanks, Suzanne. Carnivorous plants fascinate us because they defy our expectations of how a plant should behave. But really, these oddballs are just taking advantage of the nutrients in the insects they capture, since they live on very poor soils. The Raffles pitcher plant of Borneo gets nitrogen and phosphorus from hapless insects. But one variety of the plant is really bad at trapping insects, explains ecologist Ulmar Graffa of the University of Brunei, Darussalam.
This elongata form catches 7 times less prey than the typical form, and also the amount of detectable odors is much reduced.
Odors that would normally attract insects. Instead, he says tiny bats roost in the plants.
So the benefit of the bat is that it receives a safe roosting site, which is also free from ectoparasites.
And when the bats poop, their guano falls to the bottom of the pitcher. He and his colleagues recently discovered that the plants are harvesting much of their nitrogen from bat guano caught inside the plant.
We found a novel mutualism between a bat and a carnivorous pitcher plant, with the pitcher providing a safe roost for the bat and the bat providing nitrogen to the pitcher plant.
There are over 100 species of pitcher plants around the world, so other varieties may have evolved a similar relationship with animals as well. Next, from Brisbane to Birmingham, from London to Los Angeles, English speakers have many accents. And according to science reporter Justin Warner, the same is true in Southeast Asia, among small apes called gibbons.
This according to a new report by German and Vietnamese researchers, including Kurt Hammerschmidt of the German Primate Center. He explains that each gibbon species has a different song, one that sounds more like a bird than an ape, and serves many of the same purposes as bird songs.
So, mainly to establish a territory and to find a mate and to establish this bonding between female and male.
Hammerschmidt's team found that the songs can not only tell you which species you're dealing with, but where the gibbon's from geographically. For instance, this black-crested gibbon hails from the north end of the crested gibbon range. Northern gibbons sound different from southern species like this white-cheeked gibbon. Species with neighboring or overlapping territories tend to sound more like each other. For example, the white-cheeked gibbon's southern neighbor, the buff-cheeked gibbon, has a similar call. Hammerschmidt says there were also significant regional variations within species.
So what you can really see then as a dialect. So we can say, okay, it's not only the yellow-cheeked crested gibbon, it's the yellow-cheeked crested gibbon coming from a certain place.
Yet, unlike humans' regional accents, the gibbon songs are innate and not learned. Hammerschmidt says the gradual north-to-south changes in dialect probably reflect the route gibbons migrated across evolutionary history as they broke off into new species along the way.
Thanks, Justin. For years, scientists have known that paper wasps drum their antennae in a rhythmic fashion against their nests, but no one knew why. To find out, researchers at the University of Wisconsin-Madison simulated artificial drumming and then examined the offspring that emerged from the nests. Entomologist Sai Suryanarayanan led the study.
The brood, which emerged from colonies that had received the simulated drumming, had physiological characteristics like workers.
He says from genetically identical eggs, paper wasp larvae can develop into either workers or future queens, depending on how their genes are expressed.
We think that the vibrations are initiating a signaling cascade of biochemical events that culminate in differential gene expression.
He says this is the first time an animal has been documented using vibrations to influence the development of its offspring. In our last story of this week's podcast, Suzanne learned about a chemical that packs a powerful punch underwater.
A newly discovered pheromone, or chemical signal, instantly triggers fighting among male squids. Behavioral ecologist Roger Hanlon of the Marine Biological Laboratory says that females deposit the pheromone on their eggs. Groups of males passing through the area are attracted to the eggs and touch them with their tentacles, which exposes them to the chemical.
This will get them fighting mad, so to speak. They'll start competing with one another. They'll start competing over females.
He says getting the males to duke it out may help the females choose the best males to mate with.
On spawning grounds, there's a lot of competition for mates, and there are generally more males than females. But females are choosy, and they want to choose the strongest, fittest males in evolutionary terms. Generally, the male that wins the fight pairs with the female.
Hanlon says females can also store sperm for use at a later date, which gives them even more choice over which males will father their offspring.
Thanks, Suzanne. Well, that's all we have for you this week. Next week, researchers are testing a car controlled by thoughts. And a new screening test could help identify autism earlier. But if you can't wait that long for a dose of science, tune into the Science Update Podcast Daily Edition every day, Monday through Friday. You can find it on our website, scienceupdate.com, or at iTunes. You can also check out Science Update's fan page on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirsch for AAAS, the Science Society.